morning. Nice to see you all. We're turning to Joshua chapter 9 again. We're still thinking about these Gibeonites, because remember, what we're looking at is the battle led by Joshua, whereby the Israelites gained the victory over all the Canaanite tribes. And it's a picture of that battle the Lord Jesus leads us in against our old nature, the one who inhabited us before we were saved. That old nature that dominated us, ruled us, and of course directed us into sin, for our old nature is a sinful nature. But when we were saved, the Lord Jesus leads us into liberty and into victory. But it's a long-term battle, just as it was with Joshua leading the Israelites into the country. It wasn't conquered in a day or a month or even a year. It took a long time, gradually advancing across the country and overthrowing the enemy. Now, in the chapter 9, we encounter those who are called the Gibeonites. They lived in the area around Gibeon, which was just a few miles west of Jerusalem. So they were right in the heart. They were very much a part of the tribes that had to be overthrown, that had to be defeated. We considered how deceitful they were in order to come to some peace arrangement with Joshua, for they had heard of the victory in Jericho and the victory also in another city, Ai. We didn't stop to look at that particular portion. Maybe we'll go back to it before we finish our study in Joshua. But the Gibeonites had heard of these great victories and they were frightened. They knew, we can't stand against this man Joshua and the army that he leads. So they tried a trick. They decided on deception. And they dressed themselves up in old garments, worn out clothes. And they took with them food that was all moldy. And, well, if they had labels on them like today's food has labels on them, they would be well past their sell-by date. If you're shopping with Mother, you'll know that when she lifts something from the shelf, first thing she'll check is the sell-by date. No good buying it if it'll be out of date that day or the next day. You want to have one that has another week or so of life left in it. So the food that these men brought with them had all the appearance of age, because they were pretending that they had come from a far, far, far country. They weren't part of the Canaanite tribes, so Joshua didn't have to worry about them. And he could make a peace agreement with them without worrying about violating the command of God to destroy all the Canaanites. They were pretending, we're not part of the Canaanites, so you can make an arrangement with us. You can enter a peace agreement with us because we're not part of the Canaanites. And of course that was a lie. And we sought to tell you that our old nature is very deceitful. You hearing me? You have within you a nature that's the greatest twister that ever was. That's why, boys and girls, listen to me very carefully. That's why when you do something bad and Mum or Dad says to you, did you do that? No, no, it wasn't me, no, no. That's why the lie springs so quickly to your lips. Because you have an old nature that's like the Gibeonites. Deceitful. Deceitful. So you remember that now. The next time you do something bad, what you should do is confess it. The Bible says if we confess our sins to God, He will forgive us. It's always best to be honest and truthful and not be like the Gibeonites. Now, today, I want to take the matter just a little further, and I want to show you and I want you to think about the purpose, the reason why the Gibeonites acted the way they did. What made them go through this whole routine of pretending to be from a far country and dressing up as they did and the old moldy bread and worn out shoes? Why did they go through all that? I'll tell you. It was in order to escape the death sentence. They knew that Joshua had been commanded by God to slay all the Canaanites. And that included them, the Gibeonites. So this whole business that they disguised themselves and presented themselves as being inhabitants of a far country, that was in order to avoid the death sentence that God had issued upon them. Look at the verse 15 of chapter 9. You got it? And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. To let them live. That's what they wanted. They wanted to stay alive. Look at verse 18. They've discovered now, that is, the Israelites have discovered, wait a minute, these fellows don't come from a far country. They're living right in the middle of the land we are to conquer. They're part of the people we are to slay. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. They were vexed with the princes at what they had done. They had been stupidly deceived. And now they couldn't execute these Gibeonites, because they had made a promise in the name of the Lord not to harm them, but to be at peace with them. So the whole purpose of the Gibeonites' deception was to escape the death sentence. And boys and girls, that's what your old nature will try to do. You know that we're told in God's word that we must slay the flesh. Let me read you one verse in Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 22. And there are many, many verses that say the same as this. Put off concerning the former conversation. Now, the word conversation in the New Testament doesn't mean a bit of gabbling between ourselves. It actually means the life we used to live, the lifestyle we used to follow. That's what the word conversation means. So, we are to put off the former life, the former practices, the former things we used to do. It's called the old man. That's the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put it away. Paul uses other terms in other places. He talks about mortifying or putting to death the old man. So you can see that the old nature within us that is inclined to sin and wickedness and defiance of God and rebellion, it's under a death sentence, just like the Gibeonites. All the Canaanites were to be slain. And it pictures for us the death sentence that rests upon the old nature. You're to put to death lying and deception and covetousness and evil thoughts and evil actions, disobedience of God. All that's sinful, you're to put it to death. Day by day, you're to slay it. When the temptation arises, when the desire arises to do something wrong out there in the playground, you're not to agree to it. You're not to do it. You're not to listen. But you are to slay, kill, quench, strangle that temptation. You're to put it to death. Now, the old nature is as crafty and as cunning as the Gibeonites, and it will ever try to avoid the death sentence. The old nature within you will argue in favor of sin. Let me show you what I feel is a very vivid picture of the old nature at work. We turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel and the chapter 15. 1 Samuel, the chapter 15, and here we're introduced to one of the leaders of a nation that was under the death sentence, a nation that Israel should have slain long, long ago, but they hadn't done it. And so this nation is still alive. But Saul goes out against them, and yet even he doesn't execute the judgment of God against them as he was instructed by God. And instead, we find in the verse 30, these words. This is Saul speaking. He says, I've sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again with Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring me hither Agag, king of the Amalekites. When Saul said, I have sinned, he was referring to the fact that he hadn't slain the king of the Amalekites, as God had instructed him. He let him off. He was still alive. And he's confessed that he has done wrong. And now Samuel, the prophet, he's going to do what Saul should have done. And that's why we read in the verse 32, Samuel says, bring me hither Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Now look at the picture God paints of this old king who is to be slain. But naturally enough, he doesn't want to be slain. He doesn't want to be killed. Now look at him. And as you look at him, see a picture of your old nature. See how it behaves when it's challenged about sin. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. The old king, you see, is trying to persuade Samuel not to execute him. It says he came delicately. That's an English word translated from the Hebrew that we today might use the word mincing, meaning, you know, he came all daintily. I can just see the old rascal mincing over to Samuel and twitching his fingers. Oh, hello, Samuel. I hope the bitterness of death is gone. Surely there's been enough killing today. And he's pleading craftily, wickedly, that he might escape. That's what the Gibeonites had been doing. They were trying to escape the death sentence. And that's what your old nature will do every time. Every time. When you do wrong and you're required to slay the flesh, your old nature will say, oh, just let me live. I'll not do it again. I'll not do it again. I'll be better in my behavior. There's no real harm anyway in what I did. There's no need to kill me off. Oh, the lies that will come from the old nature to try and persuade you not to do as God requires you to do. Put it to death. Put it to death. That's what's pictured for us here in what the Gibeonites were doing. They were trying to avoid the death sentence. They were trying to avoid the death sentence. And I just warn you, boys and girls, learn the wickedness, the deception of your own heart. Know your own selves. Know yourself. When we're dealing with a stranger, we're usually very cautious. We just don't take everything they say as being genuine. But we're cautious and careful. Well, no stranger that you encounter will ever be half as deceitful as your old nature. So when you're dealing with the sin of your own heart, remember what it is, who it is, that you're dealing with a deceiver. And be very careful. Be very careful. God wants you to kill off sin in your life. Slay sin in your life. Put it to death. Sin wants to live. It wants to exercise influence over you. Lead you astray. Work its wickedness. It wants to avoid being put to death. And it will craftily plead for you to let it off. Don't heed it. Don't make the mistake Joshua made. Don't be taken in by the appearance of sin. Even though it puts on a very innocent face. Oh, we're not from here. We're from a far country. Look at our clothes. Look at our old food. And Joshua fell for the deception. Don't you fall for the deceitfulness of sin. We leave our study there. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased to write your word on the hearts of the boys and girls. We have striven to drive home to them the deceitful nature of their sin, their old nature. And we pray that you will cause them to ever be on their guard against the impulses that rises from their old sinful nature. Help them to put it to death. Help them, Lord, to crucify the flesh. We ask of thee, give them understanding in these matters and bless the school this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.